Blog Talk Radio.
And then on
next month will be the Feast of Trumpets. Hold on, Sister Denise. Speaker on. All right, go ahead and try to speak, my sister.
Huh?
Well, I thought you were saying something.
I was saying, could you turn your speaker up because it's hard for me to hear you.
How about that?
That's better.
Okay. All right, amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. And we are continuing in Why Does the Heathen Rage, Part 2. Let me have the ladies cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, Father, and we lift you up, and we magnify you, O Yah. And we extol thee, Father. We lift thee up, and we bow down to you, Father, and we submit to your will and to your ways. And we just give you all glory, honor, and praise on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
measure. Snap your fingers, snap them. Snap your fingers, snap them.
Well, I measure.
Snap your fingers, snap them.
Ain't nobody greater, ain't nobody greater.
You say that you love him, but you won't even keep his laws to save your life. You say that you need him, but when problems arise, you try to solve it your way. You wanna go back with him, I know that that's a fact. But what is the use when you won't serve him? I advise you to serve the Lord right now. The Most High is the best, best, best. Ain't nobody greater. We'll help you through your test, test, test. Ain't nobody greater.
It's your God,
boss, yeah. With problems like the down, so please
just remember this.
Ain't nobody greater. You say that there's nothing wrong with breaking God's laws. You say that there's nothing wrong,
and nothing bad will happen to you. But don't you know if you don't repent? But don't you know you're gonna die? But don't you know you're gonna die? If you repent, but don't you know, save your life, but don't you know, you're gonna
die. The Most High is the best, best, best. Ain't nobody greater. We'll help you through your test, test, test. Ain't nobody greater.
He's your God,
boss, yeah. When problems knock you down,
when it gets hard,
so please. Sometimes in our lives we will make mistakes, but you gotta pray. He who overcomes will inherit all things. God
said,
for all that's his and it's falling short of the glory of God. God touches the heart and he fresh the mind. He treats you as you are and not what you pretend to be. The Most High is the best, best, best. Ain't nobody greater. We'll help you do your test, test, test. Ain't nobody greater.
Book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 11. And in that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up the ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all of the heathen, all of the nations, which are called by my name, saith Yah, that does this. So on yesterday, as we were looking at this, we know that the heathen rages, the nations rage, and they are angry with Israel because the Most High made a promise to Israel that he would make us high above all nations. If we kept his command, if we do what he says to do, that he would put us above them, high above them, and that all blessings would be in our favor when it came to us and the world. And that we would spread out and people would be afraid of us, not because of us, but because of the Most High himself, Yah. Because they knew and know who we are, those powers to be, that they have set in place systems, institutions of racism, institutions of discrimination. allowing us to have power because they don't want us to be in the position that the Most High has said that he would place it what we were supposed to do, which is to keep his commandments. They know this, so what they have tried in all their, you know, all their might is to keep Israel down, make sure that we don't have any power because they don't want to be, they don't want to be beneath us. They don't want to have us to rule over them. And this is what the Most High has promised Israel as part of his promise of salvation. And from the very beginning that, hey, I'm going to give you might over the nation. And you will rule them with a rod of iron. But they didn't want that. So they have done everything that they could to break those bonds. And so we will break these bonds asunder and we will loose these ropes off of us. Then we looked at it from the position of slavery. And in Leviticus chapter 25, you know, we were told that, you know, we were told given the laws of the land as far as harvest and those things. But then the Most High started talking about how we were to treat our fellow brothers and sisters. And that we couldn't, if we sold our land to one of our brothers or sisters, then at least in the Jubilee, whether we pay back the loan or not, the land was redeemed to us. We got it back. If one of our brothers became one of our, you know, a servant to us, they sold themselves into servitude for a loan, then our we could not treat our brothers as bond servants, as slaves, but that we had to treat them as a hired hand, paying them wages. And then we were told that if a Gentile, one of the nations, gets up high above you or gets up above you and your brother sells himself to that Gentile, then your brother could be redeemed. And in the Jubilee, if he was sold to a Gentile, then he was still to be let go free. But when it came to the Gentile nation, and if Israel was told that, hey, you could buy slaves, and those slaves were to be your slaves perpetually, and that you would pass them down to your children, you know, from generation to generation. But the nations could not do that to Israel according to the Most High. Why? Because Israel is his servant, and Israel belongs to him. Could not do that to us. But the nations got together and conspired to, hey, we're taking these bonds off of us. We're going to cut these in two, and we're taking these ropes off of us. We're not going to be beneath you. And we're going to make you beneath us. Well, they couldn't really make us beneath them. That's something that we as a people had to do ourselves through disobedience to the Most High. So once our forefathers did not keep the promise to the Most High, then we were sent into captivity. Okay? And we were the roles were reversed. And we're going to read those today. But I want to go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and kept that up. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 14. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. And in Isaiah chapter 14, start in verse 1. For Yah will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them. And they shall cleave Jacob. Now, these strangers are going to cleave to the house of Jacob, okay, Israel. And the people shall take them. The people are Israel. This is the Gentiles. The people shall take them and bring them to their place. So the nations are going to... are the ones that are going to put Israel back in the land, the true Hebrew Israelites. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yah for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captive, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. So Yah has told the nations that you can't take my people as servants. And you can't, you know, if I send them into captivity, then you can't even treat them as a slave. Treat them as a hireling. hireling, and you have to pay them wages. The fact that they are not in the land is their punishment. The fact that they are subject to you is the punishment. But you can't rule my people with rigor. Now, we know that this didn't happen in the transatlantic slave trade. And all the nations that held us, they treated us cruelly. And the Most High is not pleased with that. Go to Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. And I believe it's 14. Hold on. Clean up where we were at yesterday. Let me just go here. Zechariah. I think that was verse 15. No. Just a second. Let me get to this chapter. Zechariah chapter 1. The book of Zechariah chapter 1. And let's just start in verse 1. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of Yah unto Zechariah, the son of Barakiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, Yah has been sore displeased with your fathers. Now, Yah himself is saying, hey, I'm displeased with my people. Therefore, say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, turn you unto me, saith Yahweh, and I will turn unto you, saith Yahweh. But be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith Yahweh, turn you now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith Yah. Your fathers were, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? So we know the fathers had been scattered by this point, and the prophets don't live forever. But my words and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, hold of your fathers. So the statutes pronounce the crime and the punishment. He said, didn't that take hold of your fathers? They transgressed, and my judgment took place. And it is now has a hold of them. It is now in effect. And they returned and said, like as Yahweh sought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so has he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Sivan, in the second year of Darius, came the word of Yah unto Zechariah, the son of Barak, son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my master, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show you what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom Yah has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of Yah that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of Yah answered and said, O Yah of hosts, how long wilt thou have mercy? How long shalt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And Yah answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith Yahweh, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen. Now, when the nation, due to Israel, what the Most High doesn't want done, then he comes back and he takes it out on those nations. I am very displeased with the heathen that are at ease. They are doing what they were doing. They were mistreating his people. I was but a little displeased with what, the heathens did. Now, this is what the heathens did. and they help forward the affliction. So Yah says, I was a little displeased with my people. But the heathen did what? They helped to forward the affliction. Therefore, thus says Yah, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy, and my house shall be built in it, said Yah of hosts, and the line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. So the Most High still, even in this great diaspora, he was but a little displeased with his people. His laws concerning his people, he's dealing with us in the slavery, in the scattering. And he says that he would regather Israel. But Israel has to turn back to him the way that he wants and keep his commandments. So the heathens believe, the nations believe that it was okay for them to do what they did to the Most High's people. But he said it wasn't. I had already given the nations a law that they could not possess my possession. Israel is my kin. They belong to me. And if I scatter them and they come into your land, then you can't treat them as a slave. You have to treat them as a hired hand. And when I'm ready, you know, however I want to afflict them, those that I want to kill, I will kill. Those that I want to afflict, I will afflict. But you're not to take them and use them for, you know, your own possession. And so this is what the nations did. They took Israel, and they mistreated Israel. And the Most High said, told us in Amos that he would redeem Israel and that he would afflict the nations for doing what they did to Israel. So we ask the people of the book, all we need to do is do what he said do. Just obey his word. Okay, so the Most High was but a little mad, even in our disobedience. He says, but I'm going to take out my wrath on you this time. It's going to be worse than at other times. And I'm going to scatter you into all the nations of the world, but I will gather you back to me again. Okay, so we got to understand that we are his people. But, you know, he says, I'm not saving all of y'all. That's the difference. Save all of y'all. I'm only going to save a remnant, a small number of y'all, because most of y'all ain't going to get it. Ain't going to wake up, and you will stay where you're at. Stay in unbelief. Unbelief as far as who you are as a people. Unbelief as far as what my promises are to you. And, you know, you'd be wondering why? Why are the nations raging against us? Why do they hate us so much? And it's their fault that we're in this condition. And the Most High says, no, look at yourself, but I have an ought against them as well, because I told them, don't take you and abuse you. Don't take them and take you, my people, and put you in chattel slavery. My people can do that to you, but you can't do that to my people. So the nations are what? Mad. It's okay for them to do us that way, but we can't do them that way. And so they basically made up a god of their own that they want to serve and, you know, do what they want to do. And they, you know, they conspire. Let me get this verse. Give me a hot second. This one just came into my mind. Now we were in, let's go back to Psalm 82. And then we're going to go to Psalm 84. Psalms 82. Just a second here. I think I called the wrong psalm out. Psalms 2. Go to Psalms 2, then we'll go to Psalms 84. Psalms 2. And this is our reference verse for this precept. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the nations rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Now they're taking counsel together against who? Against Yah. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Now, this is in reference to Israel and Messiah. But at this point, it's about Israel. And cast away their cords from us. Now we know from Deuteronomy 28, the first, 14, 15 verses, Moses said that he would place us over them. And we would never be underneath if we obeyed his commandments. The bands would be on the nation. We would rule over them. And the cords would be our cords around them, holding them in bondage. And the nation, they got together and said, hey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to let this happen, or we're not going to stay under this. Okay? Now let's go to Psalm 84. The book of Psalms 83. Psalms 83, verses 1 through 4. A song of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. Who are the Most High's enemies? Are the nations, those that will not fear him and bow down to him. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. Their counsel is, we don't want to be in bondage under this people. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. Now, and this is against the true people of the Most High, his chosen ones. The ones that he made the promises to. The nation said, hey, we don't want to be up under them. And we're going to break the bonds of our servitude to them, and we're going to remove the ropes that tie us and keep us in bondage to them. We're going to break those. We're going to loose those and take them off. So they got together, and they took crafty counsel. That means they sat down, they thought about this thing. How can we imprison this people? Now, they read the book just like you and I read the book. And the powers to be know that, hey, if they fall, then they are going to be, the Most High is not going to be protecting them. And we can do what we want. And so that's what they did. And they conspired that we should not be a nation. Even if they had to replace us in bondage and say somebody else was us. And then while they had us in bondage, let's make sure that we don't never let them get up. Because the Most High's promise to them is that they would be high above us. And we'd be subjective, we would be in subjection to them. So the scriptures are telling us that they have come together with one consent. Let's look at verse 5. They don't want Israel, us as a people, to know who we are. They don't want the real nation of Israel to rise up again. For they have consulted together with one consent, that they are confederate against thee. They are joined together. They have made a confederation. Tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites and of Moab and the Hagarenes. Jabal and the Hagarenes really were those that were in Spain. Gabal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher, which is Israel, also is joined with them. They have helping the children of Lot, Selah. The children of Lot were the Amorites. And they weren't utterly destroyed. And they have always come against us. So understand that these nations fired and created a confederate that they would not let the house of Israel exist. And if it did come into being, well, you know, we'll claim that we're them. We'll claim that we're the people of the book. We'll keep them in utter slavery long enough for the generations to die out and those that we took into slavery to forget who they were, to be reindoctrinated. And the Most High says, I'm not happy with that. And so eventually, as Isaiah says and as the book of Amos says, that all the nations that held us as slaves, that actually held us as slaves, he says they would come into the kingdom under his name. Under his name. So let's go back to Isaiah. Chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Verses 1 and 2. For Yah will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yah, in the land of Yah, for servants and handmaidens. Servants and handmaidens are slaves of the Jewish Gentiles to Israel. And they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. So the Most High said, okay, you didn't obey my laws, Gentiles, because I know that I made it to where your, at least your leaders know this, but they conspired together to make it that Israel would not be a nation or a people, so that they could keep us in utter slavery or bondage, which they were never supposed to do. Okay, so understand that's what the Most High's will is for this. And those nations know that they will eventually go into captivity because of that. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And see what the Most High said. Because he gave us the conditions. If you obey my voice, then I'm going to do all these wonderful works for you. And you shall be high above the nation. And you're going to rule over them with a rod of iron. And you will lend and not borrow. You will be blessed in the fields. You'll be blessed in the city. Everything you put your hand to will be blessed, with the condition that we obey his commandments. Now, let's look and see what he says if we do not. Because then we're going to see that all the blessings were reversed. And I think it starts in about verse 15. Let's see. It's starting in verse 13. Because this is the bottom line. This is what the Gentiles, nations, the heathen, the Gentile nations don't want. And Yah said, and Yah shall make thee the head and not the tail. You got to think about what position we are in the land that we're in. I shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of Yah thy Elohim, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. Not just acknowledge that, hey, there's some commandments, but to actually do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left. That means go do exactly what I say, to go after other Elohim to serve them. Now, that's, you know, I'm going to bless you coming in and going out, I'm going to bless the fruit of your hands. I'm going to bless the fruit of your womb. I'm going to bless the fruit. Everything that you do is going to be blessed. You're going to prosper. You're going to be above and never beneath. But if you don't, but it will come to pass. It will happen. If you will not hearken unto the voice of Yah, thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So he says, hey, if y'all don't do what I say to do, those blessings are going to turn into curses. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be the basket in thy store. So whatever you try to do in the city, you try to live that life, you're going to be cursed. We find our people being shot down, ran over, split, hung, all kind of things whenever we live amongst the Caucasoid people, the nation. And cursed shalt thou be in the field. The Most High doesn't cause our crops when we have them for ourselves to prosper if we're not following him. But then at the same time, we can harvest, and if they know that it's coming from a black farmer, they won't give the same price that they give to the white farmer. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. The basket is what you harvest, and the store is what you store up for hard times. So the Most High told us, we read it in Leviticus chapter 25 last night, that the Most High says, if you honor me, then you're going to honor the land. And you can farm the land for 6 years, but in the seventh year, the land has to also have a Sabbath. It has to rest. And if you're doing what I tell you to do, then I'm going to bless you with 3 years harvest in the sixth year. So the sixth year, we would gather 3 years worth of harvest. He would make the corn, the wheat, the barley, the tomatoes, the onions, everything that we farmed, it multiplied for 3 years in that 1 year, the sixth year. And so the seventh year, we could take off because we're eating out of the stores. The eighth year, it takes a year for stuff to grow. So you take off a year. That means you didn't farm in the seventh year, so you won't have anything coming up in the eighth year. So the second year of the promise. So the sixth year, we ate of that. In the seventh year, we ate of for the seventh year. And in the eighth year, we ate the third year of the harvest. But in the eighth year, we planted again, and we would eat of the ninth year of that harvest. He says, but now I'm going to curse that, and it won't happen. And cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. You're going to have kids that are born deformed, born mentally incapacitated, having, you know, all these illnesses where you wouldn't have had that before. All your children would have been born healthy. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, a nose, both ears, no hair, lip, no type ADHD, none of this stuff. Fruit of the land. You know, that ain't going to come good for you. And the increase of thy kind. Kind are like, the cows. They're not going to give like they're supposed to, and they're not going to multiply and be fruitful like they're supposed to. And the flocks of the sheep, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Everything you do is going to be cursed. And what we're doing is looking at the nations, even though they're doing us wrong, the root of this is this. The Most High says, I curse you for not obeying me. Okay. Yah shall send upon thee cursing and vexation and rebuke, high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, cholesterol, and anything else that you want to name. I'm going to send those things on you. and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto, for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Forsaking him, meaning that not obeying him, not remembering his commandments and doing them. Yah shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Got diseases. All these things, man, these curses, they're going to cleave unto you. You know, you're going to be known for these things. Until he have consumed thee off the land. Now, those things happened to us, and we were pushed off the land, but these things went on for generations and still go on today. Whether thou goest to possess, so whatever land you go to possess, you're not doing what he said to do. He said, all these things are going to happen. Don't matter where you're at. Yah shall smite thee with consumption, that's cancer, and with fever, and with inflammation. Inflammation brings pain. And with extreme burning. You know, when you have diabetes real bad, and it starts affecting your limbs, you start getting these burning feelings. According to the doctors, you get these burning feelings in your toes and in your legs because the nerves are dying out from the sugar. And then the blood turns into sugar. It turns into a syrup. And the body can't pump it out of the far extremities, your fingers and your hands, your fingers and your feet, your hands and your feet. Can't pump that blood out, and so those tissues start to rot. And then they have to amputate. And with the sword, you can change that sword, and with the gun. And with blasting, this is the type of mildew, like a fungus, and then with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. That's a cave. So many of our people are in jail, in iron cages, in cages made out of what? Metal. Yah shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust, and rather than receiving water, I'm going to dry the land up, and all you're going to get for rain is dust. Like, dust and powder are basically the same thing. Fine dirt. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The whole thing about this is Yah wants to destroy us. He don't want us to have any power. He don't want us to have any might. He don't want us to be blessed. And thou shalt cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. And thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways. He told us that's the way that they would come at us, one way, but he would cause them to flee seven ways. But now, he said, no, if you don't obey me, you're going to be the one that comes out one way and flee seven ways. And shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. We are there right now. And thy carcasses shall be meat unto all fowls of the air. Now, you know, there was a time in play where they didn't care. We were shark food when we were sent over on the ships. We don't know how many died that way. We know the ones that survived that made it over here because they could absorb salt. And because they could absorb salt, that salt also contributed to them having high blood pressure, hypertension. Because people who are prone to those love salt. Got to have it on their food, but it contributes to these diseases. They're the ones that survive the trip, and they're the ones that, you know, we are afflicted with these diseases. And then it was a time, you know, you don't know how many slaves that they threw off the ship that died on the ship, or it was a storm, they needed to lighten up the ship. Oh, we got slaves to throw them off. And then when we got into the land, Oh no, you don't need a house with a floor. Just put a roof over their head and a dirt floor. And let's give them the parts of the animal we don't want to eat. Yeah, give them the gut. Give them the intestines. Give them the part of the animal that we don't want. And that, not only that, give them the animals that the Most High said they can't have, that they further corrupt themselves, because now they can't eat the way he says to eat, and they are unclean to him. All this stuff wasn't an accident. It was by design. And so you know there were times when they wouldn't bury us. Fall in the field, drag them out of the field, go throw them in that ditch over there. Go throw them in those bushes or in those weeds. Hang them, let them rot on the tree. I mean, we've had some cruel things done to us. But the Most High said, hey, these things are going to happen because you're disobedient. And still, I'm going to punish those people that do this to you. Because I have a law for them too. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall pray or scare them away. And Yah will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, the boils of Egypt, and the emerods, the hemorrhoids. Remember he gave Egypt hemorrhoids? Everybody butt hanging out. And it was terrible. And with the scab and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. And Yah shall smite thee with madness and with blindness and with astonishment of heart. We mad, and we look at the Gentiles and say, why y'all treating us this way? And we blind to the truth that it's because that our forefathers took Yah. And we're astonished at how all the other nations get up above us and how low they keep us. Because we don't want to believe what the Most High said. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropes in the darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy way. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. We keep looking for reparations. We keep, you know, we believe we are owed reparations. Okay? And the Most High said, you know, hey, you don't have to pay a bond servant. This is why they didn't want to pay us. They want to keep us as slaves. This is why they don't want to give us reparations today. This is the real truth behind it. We had you as slaves. As slaves, we weren't required to pay you. Your labor was free. We didn't owe you a wage. So what wage are we going to base for you? Seeing that we didn't pay you wages like the Most High said to do. And spoiled ever no more, no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Now we know that this went on a lot in slavery. The master would give a man a wife, and then the master himself or his company or his son, a brother, whatever, would come in on her. And there was nothing he could do about it. Nothing he could say. Get mad. If they were real cruel, they made him watch. So build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. We build a lot of houses in this country, a lot of cities. And the houses we built, we couldn't live in them. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Good job. We'll gather these and sell them for ourselves. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Now the ox today is your tractor and your farm equipment. But he's And hey, those things, they will always have a problem. They'll start to break down, and then they don't want to give us the money. This is one of the problems with the black farmers is they would save their money, buy equipment, that equipment break down, they're not getting the same price for their harvest. They can't afford to buy more seed. They can't afford to fix the tractor. They can't afford to upkeep. And this was designed so that they would lose their land. Thy ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from you. Before your face shall not be restored to thee. How many of our people are saying, hey, they were cheated out of their land? And it wasn't restored to them, and they weren't compensated for it. Just took it. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. Even today, it's harder for a black person to adopt a black child than it is for a white person to adopt a black child. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand, no power to stop this stuff. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. You know, a lot of our people just cannot take this. They see what's happening. They see that they are powerless to do anything about it. And even when you think that you have had some success, think about everything that you had to go through for that little bit of success. And how much more successful would you be if they were not trying to always, you know, keep you down, if they weren't discriminating, if they were playing with fair weight, with fair balances? How much further would you be ahead? You know, I heard a number, and I'm trying to remember this number, that, let me just look this up. White Americans hold 10 times more total wealth than black Americans. They are 28 times more likely to become millionaires. That is the truth today. 10 times more total wealth. Wealth is things that you pass on to the next generation. The money is how you get wealth. Land. Art, stocks, things like that. They are 10 times more wealthier than black Americans. So if you got $1,000, they got 10. If you got paid $100,000, they got paid $1 million. This is the trend, and this is what they do. So then you wonder, how are they getting all these things? Because they are being paid 10 to 28 times more than you for doing the same work. That's why they don't want you discussing salaries or what you get paid at work. Now, I will say Amazon didn't care. Because at Amazon, everybody was getting paid well. And they didn't care if you discussed it. You want more? Then this is what you got to do to get more. But the average company you go to, hey, you can't discuss salary. You can't discuss how much you get paid. And as though they would really tell you, oh, you getting $10 an hour for doing this? told you that this is the fees right here, but they're actually paying me 30. And because you believe that that's what everybody else is getting, you don't make a fuss about it. But this is what they have done to us. And this is what discrimination has done. Institutionalized discrimination, systematic discrimination, systematic racism. This is what it has done. So we don't get paid what they get paid. So we can't amass the wealth that they have. If you go to get something, they want to charge you. You go get a loan, they want to charge you a higher interest rate. This is why the USDA don't want to give loans to black people, because, you know, to get a loan at 1% versus a loan at 8% is a big deal. That means you're paying 8 times more interest than they would be paying. This is the problem for us. And we are, you know, once you get old enough and you've done it long enough, you'd be like, wow, all this work I put in, I retire, got barely enough to make it. But they're retiring and ain't going back to work. Don't have a part-time job. Think that they planned better than you. Some cases, yes. In some cases, hey, if you got 10 times more than I'm getting, you should have been able to save 10 times better than I was able to. And they know that. But this is part of the curse. Trust me, even when we think we got something, put somebody of their persuasion against that same person, and the white person is going to get paid more. I don't even care if it's in the millions. Made a million. Somebody white, they'd be making 10 times that. So you'd be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. We see our kids. You know, and I think most of us have become so desensitized that we don't even look at this stuff and get upset. You know, we talk about it. We talk about them. And, you know, what do they need little black kids for? You don't know what's going on in that house. And if it's anything said, the law is going to come down on their side. So if they are sexually abusing them, unless it is done in the public where somebody takes a picture of it, they don't really care. They don't. If they have the child working as a slave, they don't really care. They don't. You got to say, what's behind it? How is this child better off with you than he is with his own people? There's an agenda there. Yah shall smite thee in the knee, in the leg, with sore spots that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. You know, arthritis is very big amongst the two. In our feet, in our hands, in our neck, in our back. You know, you can only work yourself so much, and you're going to wear down the muscles, you're going to wear down the bone. And the body tries to repair itself. That's what arthritis is, but it's inflamed, painful. Yah shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And thou shalt, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. So why are people serving, have a cross, or serving the Catholic Church, or, you know, going into a church that has a cross on it or inside of it? that their altars are, you know, they're stone altars, but they're hewn stones, they're cut stones. Things that the Most High said, you know, you can't do with me. They do it. And then say they're serving him. Gods of wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment. Wow. What's wrong with those people? They're lazy. They don't, you know, they don't care about themselves. They don't care about nothing. They trash their houses. They trash their neighborhoods. Some of our people, you know, we've started this series a long time ago, but we suffer from PTSS, post-traumatic slave syndrome. And we carry these things forward. We don't realize how many things we brought forward with us out of slavery. Father taught son, mother taught daughter. And we think we are right in those things. Because it's the way we had to survive. But it drains our people to, if you're sick, you cannot treat somebody how to behave well if you're not well. If there are problems, mental illnesses in the family, and all of us have to have them. If we came out of slavery, if our ancestors came out of slavery, trust, they had PTSD, and they learned to deal with it best as they could. And they taught the next generation how they learned to deal with it. And then, you know, we feel like we are well-informed. We feel like, you know, we're healthy, mentally healthy, when we're not. Now, add to that the habits that we would bring out of slavery with us. Add to that systematic discrimination, systematic racism, lower wages. Anything that we needed, you know, we had to survive off of less. We see things and we're wondering how they got it. Or we're doing the best that we can with what we have. But we see it's nowhere near what other people have. How did those Germans come over here and get all that? Or how did the Japanese, or how did the Mexicans? And they'll all say, oh, we work hard for it. No. They're getting paid more than you. And as many of us as they could arrest and give felonies to, they did. Discriminated against us even in the civil rights that they granted us. We need labor. Well, let's, you know, they're homeless. Let's put them in jail. Let's find them sleep up under a bridge or on somebody's property and say that they're vagrants. And accuse them of a crime and put them in jail because we need the labor. Let's bring drugs and alcohol into their communities. And then if we catch them selling drugs, we're going to give them a felony. But if we do it, then it's a health crisis. We got a health crisis. Our people are getting strung out on opioids. Our people got strung out on crack, cocaine. And they gave us felonies. It was a crime to get strung out on crack. They get strung out on heroin. And it's a health crisis. They're going to always come against us no matter how they can because, well, those wouldn't even be part of the curses. Those are part of them doing what the Most High told them not to do to us. But, hey, they conspired. They said they were going to conspire that we would not be a nation, that we would not be a people. If you are depressed, if you are miseducated, if you are you know, held back in your wages, everything that they're doing is to hold you down, then you sooner or later you will become depressed with it. Bring on, you know, like I said, bring on the stuff that we brought out of slavery with us. The body remembers. They know that the body remembers from generation to generation. But the truth of the matter is, the parents are going to teach the children. And if the children are taught by the parents, they will teach their children the same way. And this will be, you know, we will say that, hey, it's a good thing. You know, you are doing well. You're doing well in accordance with your own people. But according to everybody else, you're not doing well. Suffering from mental illness and don't even know you're ill. Where did it come from? It came way back from slave days. So you're in a proverb. What is a proverb? It's like a saying. Let's look at this. A proverb, mashal, in some origin sense of superiority in mental action, properly a pithy maximum, usually a metaphorical nature, hence a simile, as an adage or a poem or a discourse, a byword, like a parable. Everything wants to come up positive, but that's not what the scripture is talking about. You know, are people trying to reprogram themselves with positive proverbs concerning ourselves? But the Most High says that the nations would have proverbs concerning us. See if I can find some, because off the top of my head, my mind went blank. N-word would be like a proverb or a byword for our people. It says, among all the nations, whether y'all shall leave, y'all shall become an astonishment. You know, them people just can't seem to get up. They're lazy. They won't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. But then they will have a parable. And, you know, from the top, you know, off the top of my head, being black, I'm realizing that, hey, a lot of these parables that they say about us, that they probably hold secret, other than the racial slurs, are not really coming into my mind. But, you know, you can't trust a black person. They will steal you blind. All these things that they say about us. You got to understand that that's their opinion of us. That's what they will say in secret, or they'll say it in a proverb, or they will use a byword. And the Most I said that, you know, this will be put on us. Let me see if I can do it from here. Or that, you know, we only eat chicken or we only eat watermelon. You know, just different things that they say. Let's see.
They also say we're sullen, unlearnable.
Yeah.
Hard to deal with.
Yep. Thank you, my sister. All things that they say about us to their own people. And they tell every other people coming over here, hey, don't deal with those black people. So this is all prophesied in the scripture. And we see that it became true about us as far as these curses. Carry much seed out into the field and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. That means that the trees are gonna you know, they're gonna cast their fruit, or the fruit's gonna fall from them early, before they're ripe. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Now, we still have that today with the prison system, and there's just as many men and women of our men and women going to jail, into captivity. But we really have not been freed, because we haven't been given the power to be free. What do I mean by that? You know, there's a lot of things that define freedom. If you're not depending upon some other people for your livelihood to give you food and shelter, that you make it yourself, you your own food, you grow it, your own shelter, you know, you own it, and you're not, you know, counting on somebody to give it to you. You are, anytime you have to depend on other people to provide, then you are captive to those people. And we as a people don't own really no stores, no banks, no schools. I mean, if we do, it's ones and twos. It's not in proportion to the number of people. So we don't have our own money. We don't have our own farms. Matter of fact, I think on the Joe Madison show, they said it went from 900 acres of farmland that black farmers 10 to 20 years ago, that down to 1%. So they know, here's the deal, and this is according to the USDA, they know that there's going to be a shortage of food in the future. That with crop failures and, you know, global events, storms, and those types of things, they are teaching all the other peoples how to grow food and survive under those situations. You know, it's urban farming. But they don't want us to know. They want us to continue to be dependent upon them. And so food security is a very big thing, because, hey, if you've got to count on somebody else for your food, then they can charge you what they want for it. And it's not for you. But they're not charging their own that price. And if we don't learn how to grow our own food, then a lot of us will starve. They notice it's coming. They're predicting it to be in the, you know, the 2040s, the 2050s. That's really going to be critical. And if God doesn't come by that time, you know, they're not doing anything. They say that they are, but they're really not doing anything to help us be able to support ourselves as a people. Even the ones that we have, like I'm talking to, this is an African farmer, he's a Hamite farmer, but, you know, for them, black is black, and he told me for years they had to, like, truck in their water. They could not get the city or the county or the people who own the land to put water on their land, their farmers. And then, you know, so they had to use the water out of the water hose. But when you're farming and you're using water out of the water out of the water hose kills the ground. It kills the dirt. The chlorine in the water kills the microorganisms that are in the water. It does that too, but it kills the microorganisms that are in the ground. And that is what kills the ground. It's not the ground itself. They're not getting rid of the minerals, but the plants grow by microorganisms. I think I talked to you guys this before, that the plants put out starches and proteins and sugars out their roots. The starches and proteins and sugars are what draw different little microorganisms. Those microorganisms eat those starches, proteins, and sugars. Then they poop out what the plant needs. So these microorganisms are designed to produce the food that the plant eats. Microorganisms, when the plant puts out those sugars, those starches, those proteins, then those animals, those microorganisms don't come and produce the mineral or whatever it is that they're putting out that the plant needs. And so it doesn't thrive. It doesn't get as big as it's supposed to. It doesn't create as much fruit as it's supposed to, so forth and so on. And so, you know, when I was doing the farming in the back in the backyard and growing stuff in the hydroponics, you know, I learned, you know, that the dirt that I had in my little greenhouse that I built out there, that it was dead. And even though I added minerals, you know, add fertilizer and, you know, calcium and phosphorus to the dirt, the dirt was dead. So you're just putting minerals on top of minerals. There was already enough minerals in that dirt. The problem was the microorganisms didn't exist. So I created, you know, looked online and found out how to create compost seed, some fertilizer that has the enzymes and the microorganisms in it. You know, put some brown sugar in there and bubble it for 24 hours, they will multiply super fast. And you pour that into the ground, introducing those microorganisms back into the ground. And then the watermelons and tomatoes and all that stuff start thriving out there until it got too hot. Okay. So, you know, we can learn how to fix the ground and grow. But then they don't want to give us the money for us to do it at scale. They don't want to give us the money to produce enough that we would be self-sufficient. They always want to keep us dependent upon them or some other group. And so we got to understand that all of this is by design. But the Most High said that these things would come upon us. Now, if we did what the Most High said to do, it wouldn't matter what they did. Whatever they did would turn out for our good. Because Yah would make sure. Oh, they thought they were going to cheat you like that. They thought they were going to prevent you like that. Now I'm going to make the land bless you. And their land, they're doing something else that has been prosperous for them, and now it don't work for them. The Most High keep away the bugs. You say, hey, do this, come upon your crop, or I will order the bugs to go to somebody else's land. I'm in control of it. 43. Deuteronomy 28:43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. I was going to place you high above all other people. Now you got strangers. You've been in America 400 plus years. You got people only been here a generation, and they are high above you. They have success where you can't have success. Part of the curse. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Where we find ourselves today. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. This doesn't mean that you're not going to exist in the land. Destroyed doesn't mean that. Destroyed means like desolate. You have no power. You have no military. There are some of you, now when it says destroyed, you have no power. You have no authority in the land. When it says desolate, it means it's going to be a few of you. Not enough worth counting. Harken not unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Until we listen to the Most High and keep his commandments and his statutes. We want to live by the laws of the land that we're in, even though the laws of the land that we're in, a lot of them are contrary to the laws of the Most High. They want to outlaw the laws of the Most High and make their evil laws good. And then we adopt those same laws. And so we can never come up out of this. Because thou servest not Yah thy Elohim with joyfulness. You tell people they got to keep the law, they're not happy about it. A lot of them like, you know, why we got to keep the law? We believe these Gentiles. They say we ain't up under the law. We do what they do. We got the same mentality they got. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which Yah shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, in one of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, bondage, real bondage, until he have destroyed thee. Yah shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. If you look into this, And I could be corrected, but I believe that just about all the nations in the world that hold the eagle as their emblem have held us that place. A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And that's our biggest problem. We don't really understand the English language even though we speak it. We don't really understand it when it comes down to legalese, when it comes to corporate law. When it comes to maritime law, we're not taught it. We're taught the basic English so that we can take instruction to follow orders, but we're not taught maritime law or corporate law or civil law because those are the laws that run everything. So when, you know, a policeman pulls you over and says, gives you instruction and asks you, do you understand? You're supposed to say no. Because when he's asking you, do you understand? That's actually saying, do you submit to me, to my authority? Do you place yourself under me as inferior? The answer should be no, I don't understand. Do I comprehend what you're saying? Yes. Do I understand? Place myself underneath you? No. But because that's what it means in their terms, and we're not taught that, then they say, you understand? Yes, I understand. Are you going to comply? Yes. Even if you ain't done nothing wrong. So we don't understand. That's how they beat us out in contracts. That's how they take our money from us. That's how they keep us under their thumb. As soon as we look like we're getting something, they will come with the legalese, and if we're not familiar with it, then we lose. A nation of shall not regard person of the old. Now, we know they don't care about us being old. Matter of fact, the VA said, as far as the black veterans were concerned, hey, we're just waiting for y'all to die. We're not going to give you what you're supposed to get. We just waiting for you to die. Nor show favor to the young. They don't care about our young people either. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, oil, or the increase of thy cattle, or flocks of sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until the high fence walls come down, wherein thou trust. throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all the gates throughout all thy land, which Yah, thy Elohim, hath given thee. Now that's specific to Jerusalem and Israel. Now the last verses are about, you know, the actual destruction of Israel in 70 AD. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters. They besieged Jerusalem. I think it was either, I have to look, I believe it was either 3 or 9 years. They couldn't get out of the city. They couldn't harvest the crops. They ran out of food and they started eating the children, which God thy Elohim has given thee, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother. The man that is delicate and tender, he's weak. He ain't going to want to fight. He's going to want to take the easy way out. Let me hit you in the back of the head and cut off a leg. And toward the wife of his bosom, toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he shall not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left in him in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you, which would not have ventured to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness. I'm a queen, and I don't do hard labor. And tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward her husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the sea and straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gate. Now that's something you get put into a situation where you don't have no food. And the Most High says, you're going to turn to eating your children. That's just horrible. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, Yah thy Elohim, then Yah will make thy plagues wonderful. That means, that's not meaning great. You meaning that I'm going to make them in abundance on you, fierce on you, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance, not short-lived plagues, but long-lived plagues, and of long continuance. Moreover, he shall bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt. Everything that he hit Egypt with, he says, now they're going to come on you, which thou was afraid of. They shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will Yah bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number. Whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude. Now, when he says destroyed, he just tells you, there's going to be what? You're going to be few in number. That's what he considers to be desolate, because when you don't have numbers behind you, then you lose. You lose strength, you lose security, you lose the ability to protect yourself as a people, so forth and so on. Because thou wouldst not obey the voice of Yah thy Elohim. And it shall come to pass that it shall rejoice over you to do you good, to multiply you, so Yah will rejoice over you to destroy you. Yeah, I'm going to get you. And to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked off of the land whither thou goest to possess, and Yah shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease. You want reparations? You ain't getting it. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but Yah will give thee their trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would Elohim it were evening, And at evening, thou shalt say, would Elohim it was morning. That, you know, no matter what time of the day it is, you think, you know, each time neither one is bringing any good. I wish it was morning. I wish it was night. I wish it was evening. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, and Yah shall bring thee into Egypt again. Egypt stands for bondage. Bondage. They could walk. They walked from Egypt before. And so for ships, you don't really need that to go from Israel to Egypt. But you can still go from Israel to Egypt in ships. And that prophecy could have came through that way, but it also in a land that we had not known. Then that wouldn't apply to Egypt. Because we lived, our forefathers lived in Egypt. By way which I speak unto thee, thou shalt see no more again. And there shall you be sold unto your enemies. For bond women and bond men, slaves, and no man shall buy you. So we are in this predicament today because our forefathers did not keep the commandments of Yah, did not do them. And for that, being in this situation, we have to look at self. To the degree that they have done it to us, that they have conspired that we would not be a nation, that they have raged against us, that they would even come against Yah, come against the commandments, come against his laws, cancel them out, change them, serve him the way that they want to serve him, not even on the day that he has commanded. But Yah will, he will get them all. What we must do is do what he told us to do. Keep my commandments and my judgments and do them. Do them. Don't live according to the way of the world, but live according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. That's the only thing that will deliver us. And we need to start doing it as a people. Even if it's one community at a time. And I know a lot of us already know these things. And some of us did not. But why does the heathen rage? What is he concerned about? That you never get up above him. That he never becomes your slave. And that you never become a nation or a people. Because then they know that the word of Yah has said, I will place my people who are obedient to me high above all nations, all people. If we desire those things and we're tired of being in captivity, we're tired of being slaves, even though when we think we're free, we have no power, we have no authority, then know that we have to keep the statutes, the laws, and commandments. We have to start training our children to observe. We have to start enforcing the laws with our own children, our grandchildren. The men and the women. We have to do this from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, thanks. For this is our duty as Hebrew Israelites. If nobody else does it, we have to do it. Throw off the world. Embrace the commandments of the Most High, his standards, his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. They are good, and they are right. And forsake the ways of the world. Till we meet again, I love you. Peace. Peace and blessings to you all. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Wrong thing.
Shalom, brother and sister Miles. Shalom, family. Happy
Shalom. Shalom, my sisters. Sabbath peace to you all.
Thank you.
Shalom.